Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
4 o'clock hour of the Wendy's Big Show. I'm Rami Makhlouf along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and our former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson. Coming up this hour, Rob Reichel of BobMcGinnFootball.com. He'll join us at 4:35, and we'll talk some Wisconsin basketball and football. John McNamara, Wisconsin insider. He joins us at 4:48. We moved Gary Wolfel, our Milwaukee basketball insider, to 5:35 because we were having so much fun with that NFL safety conversation. Right now, we want to know, do you see a difference between Odell Beckham Jr. and Tom Brady? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7FM The Fan. You can go to my Twitter timeline, at Rami is tweeting, and you'll see a video from Odell Beckham Jr.'s Instagram page. And it's basically like a 40-second montage of antics of both OBJ and Tom Brady doing almost the same exact things. It's a clip of OBJ screaming, Tom Brady screaming. OBJ kicking a Gatorade cooler, Tom Brady kicking a Gatorade cooler. You get the idea. It goes on for 40 seconds. And this all started because on Sunday, cameras caught Tom Brady yelling at his offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels. Somebody tweeted at Odell Beckham Jr., quote, "It's passion, bro. Imagine if OBJ showed some of this, quote, passion towards any of his coaches." Odell Beckham responded at length. He went on to say, "Listen, when I say this is the craziest thing someone has ever tweeted or posted to me, because I literally had this same conversation today about the exact thing you're talking about. There's rules, and then there's rules. Or immaturity, or needs to grow up, or selfish. What else is it exactly that they say? Or uncomposed. No, bro. I've watched that man do that exact same thing for years. Beat every time I cheered for him in the Super Bowls. I learned from him. This is the GOAT, so I'm following his lead. I just may not know how to express it the same way, but don't get it confused how 12 feels about the game. I would have a hard time saying that's not exactly how I feel. Hashtag GOAT chasing." Do you see a difference between Tom Brady and Odell Beckham Jr. and all the antics? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7FM The Fan. Sparky, do you see a difference?
No. Nope. Nope, do not. The difference is one is a quarterback that is the face of the National Football League and has been for a long time, is going to get away with whatever he wants to get away with. Look, Peyton Manning used to yell at his offensive line all the time. There's a video of that. You can Google that and look at him yelling and screaming at guys. It happens in the National Football League. Some guys can get away with it. Jay Cutler couldn't. I mean, there are certain guys that can do the same thing as other players and for whatever reason are going to get, you know, criticized for doing what other players do. He's a wide receiver. So when you're a wide receiver in the National Football League, you are automatically, in most cases, labeled a prima donna all about yourself. We just talked to David Bakhtiari about this on Tuesday. And I pointed out to him how fortunate the Packers are not to have those guys on this team. Because if they did, if Jordy Nelson was a prima donna or Randall Cobb was a prima donna, it was all about themselves, this could have really gotten out of control in the media and so forth, but them not getting the ball thrown to him, especially Randall Cobb, not a single target last week, while Devontae Adams gets all the catches. Keyshawn Johnson, he ain't got to shut up. He's going to come out and say what's on his mind. T.O., same thing. So because they're viewed that way already, there's already a negative connotation labeled with wide receivers. So now when this player is a wide receiver that does something similar to the face of the league quarterback, of course it's viewed in a negative light where the quarterback is allowed to get away with it because he's the pretty boy of the league. He can do whatever he wants. And that's just how it is. It's a double standard. It's a crappy double standard, but that's what it is in the National Football League. Always has been that way and probably always will be that way.
But
plain and simple.
You just labeled it prima donna behavior.
That's what it is. That's how wide receivers are viewed in the NFL. They are. They're me guys. Bakhtiari said the same thing. Go back and play it back.
I know.
About how he views wide receivers,
like,
and it's the exact same. That's how they're viewed in the National Football League. So when you take a fan base and a media base that views them that way in large part and have that stereotype of those players, and Odell Beckham Jr. may be that guy or not, And then you take that and go up against a guy that's got numerous Super Bowl rings that may be considered the greatest quarterback of all time. One's going to get a pass and one's not. You take a guess at which one's going to get the pass. It's going to be the quarterback that's at the top of the game. That's all it's going to be. And again, it's not fair to Odell Beckham. I agree with him. It's crap, but that's what it is, and it's not going to change. And it doesn't have to be just Odell Beckham. It could have been any other wide receiver. This could have been – you could have had –
not just wide receivers. You mentioned Jay Cutler.
You could have had T.O. against Tom Brady and put together similar stuff.
Right.
And it would be the same thing. So
– you just mentioned Jay Cutler. You could go to Cam Newton.
Yep.
I think even Aaron Rodgers takes more of a beating.
Not
to the point that Cutler and Cam do, but I think he
tends to get more of a pass like Brady than the other guys do.
But he gets more criticism than Brady does.
Sure he does.
More people will –
because these talking heads have a thing for him right now. And I don't know – if this was a planned attack or what this is, but it just seems like, you know, you talk about Skip Bayless and Cowherd and some of these other guys, they all have their planned attacks on him in the last, how long has it been, Gary? 2 or 3 years?
Yeah.
It seems like they've all come at him at once. And now it's on both networks because they've all been divided up. So when you have that and you're getting attacked nationally from all these guys that people are watching, yeah. And I, for the life of me, I don't know what Aaron Rodgers did to these guys to be under fire the way he is.
Just say their name, Bayless and Cowherd.
You're talking
already.
About Bayless.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Already said it, though. Thanks for listening.
My bad.
But no, I mean, yeah. So from that standpoint, that's going to put him more in the spotlight. Brady, again, gets the pass. And he's going to continue to get the pass until he retires. Brett Favre got a pass his whole career by the media. It's no different.
But Brett didn't do all this.
I would say he did, but he did get the pass.
Yeah.
You know, he has a drug addiction or whatever else. Everybody feels bad for Brett.
Yeah.
But if that's somebody else, oh, I can't believe him. But what? It would be totally different if Brett Favre and all the trials and tribulations he went through off the field, okay? If that was Cam, you're telling me they'd be viewed the same way? Absolutely not.
Some of the tweets,
not a chance.
Some of the tweets I got in response, I tweeted out that video early this afternoon, the OBJ video from his Instagram page. I am core. He tweeted at Rami is tweeting and at 105.7 FM The Fan. I seen this video on Twitter yesterday. This shows how the media creates a narrative for one guy, but not the other. Chris Jones tweets, thank you for this topic. Had a discussion with my buddies about this 2 or 3 weeks ago when he exploded then, talking about Tom Brady. On the flip side of that, the Lonesome Kicker tweeted at Rami is tweeting. He says, I do see a difference for one reason. The QB is the team leader. OBJ has proven over and over it's all about him. You see a difference between Odell Beckham Jr. and Tom Brady when it comes to their sideline antics, yelling at teammates, yelling at coaches, kicking over Gatorade coolers. 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan.
Can you give me an example of where it hasn't been about Tom Brady?
Oh, it's Tom Brady's about Tom Brady.
Because that was that Facebook or Twitter?
That's Twitter.
That said,
yeah.
That said that it's all about OBJ and Odell Beckham Jr. Okay, fine, but give me an example where it hasn't been about Brady. I mean, like, where exactly do you see that it's not about Tom Brady? Throughout his career, it's always been about Tom Brady, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Am I missing something?
No,
I think
not.
So.
Not at all.
So again, I don't think it's much different. They may go about promoting themselves differently, right? Brady might not be out there as much as Odell Beckham Jr. is or whatever, but what put Odell Beckham Jr. on the map to begin with?
A one-handed
pregame
catch.
One-handed catch.
Yeah.
That's what it was. A pregame one-handed catch blew up on social media and went bonkers. And as soon as that happened, prior to him having really any huge, gigantic games like he ended up having, that's when it happened. Remember, he was hurt his first year. For a majority of that year, he was hurt.
Yeah.
And then he came back and got healthy. Nobody had him in fantasy football, nothing. And that little pregame video gets out, and away we went after that.
Do you see a difference between those two guys, Tom Brady, Odell Beckham Jr.? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. This is going to sound like a joke or like I'm just trying to make a clever segue into Sparky's Harry's Razors Reads. I really do think that how guys look affects how fans and the media treat them. I think the handsome, clean-cut Tom Brady is much more appealing to fans and us in the media than a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. or a guy who has a punchable face like Jay Cutler or Cam Newton. I think that has a lot to do with it. You might be treated different in your day-to-day life if you're clean-cut and handsome like Tom Brady, and Sparky can help you with that.
I agree with you on that. I think appearance has a huge say in how you're treated. Is it fair necessarily? No, it's probably not fair, but it is what it is. So if that's the way life is, you might as well look as good as you can look. And Harry's Razors puts you in that situation. I love it. Nice, smooth, comfortable glide that goes along with it. Nice, super close shave. Your significant other will love you even more that you're having Harry's Razors, and you watch. They'll end up being the ones that are buying you Harry's Razors going forward to make sure you don't change. It is a life-changing event in your life. You will never go back to whatever brand you've been using all this time. Trust me. Again, I've yet to have anybody tweet at me or otherwise and tell me that, whoops, you screwed that one up, Sparky. I didn't like Harry's. I went back to somebody else. It's not happened, and I don't think it's going to happen. There's a reason why over 3 million guys have switched. It's a practical gift that you can get someone this year for the holidays. And this holiday, Harry's is offering custom and limited edition shaving sets that make perfect gifts. Sets come with German-engineered 5-blade cartridges that provide a close, comfortable shave. You get their foaming shave gel that smells amazing. They now have limited edition winter chrome and emerald green handles, and they personalize it with engraving. Yeah, well, something saying on there if you want. Love you, Dad, or whatever the case may be. Sets come ready to gift in beautifully designed gift boxes. Gift sets start at just $10. And get this, as a special offer for fans of The Big Show, we've partnered with Harry's Razors to give you $5 off your order when you enter code SPARKY at checkout. This offer is only available for the holidays, so get it now. This holiday, give Harry's and give handsome. Get your holiday shopping done early and take advantage of free shipping. Free shipping. To get a limited edition holiday shave set while supplies last, go to harrys.com and enter code SPARKY at checkout for $5 off. That's harrys.com, code SPARKY, S-P-A-R-K-Y.
Do you see a difference between those two guys? We'll hear from you next on the Wendy's Big Show, right?
The last.
All right. It's the Wendy's Big Show on a Throwback Thursday, presented by Master Z's with Fleetwood Mac bringing us out of the break.
Fleetwood's Max.
Fleetwood's Max, I apologize. I stand corrected. We're asking you right now, do you see any difference between the antics of Odell Beckham Jr. and Tom Brady? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 1057FMTheFan. Go to my Twitter page, at Rami is tweeting. Go to the Facebook fan page, 1057FMTheFan. And you'll see a 40-second montage of Tom Brady and Odell Beckham Jr. doing the same exact things on the sidelines, yelling at teammates, kicking over coolers, yelling at coaches, etc., etc. Is there a difference between the two, in your opinion? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1057FMTheFan. And then tweet off your vote for a Throwback Thursday at 1057FMTheFan with the hashtag BigThrowback. Gary went with Larry Harris went with Bing Crosby Christmas. Sparky wants Christmas music from the 70s. Baby Tausch wants Carpenter's Christmas. I want Jackson 5 Christmas. Gary just wants Journey. Not Christmas, just Journey. Tweet your artist at 1057FMTheFan. With the hashtag Big Throwback, and you'll be entered for a $25 gift certificate to Master Z's. And if you're looking for holiday gift ideas, whether it's Packers gear or rec room games or patio furniture or anything that you're looking for, they have it over at Master Z's. And right now at their Bayshore location, it's the relocation liquidation sale going in right now. All reasonable offers will be considered at Master Z's Bayshore Town Center, 540 West Silver Spring Drive in Glendale.
The one thing that is consistent with all these tweets for the most part, Everybody says he doesn't have Super Bowl rings. So that's why Brady gets the pass. Gary says, yes, there is a difference between Tom Brady and Odell Beckham Jr. 5 Super Bowl rings. Patrick tweets at the fan, accomplishments give you a longer leash. One has rings, the other was on a party boat before a playoff game. Boy, I forgot all about that. Tristan says, it is a double standard. Too many people are blinded by Brady's rings. It seems that, for the most part, everybody says the difference is if Odell Beckham Jr. had rings, he would get the same benefit of the doubt. I still disagree. I still think Brady would get the benefit.
Let's go to his phone call.
All right, let's go to the phone calls. Let's go to Will in West Dallas. What's up, Will?
Hey, boys. Hey, hello?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, guys. Hey, who's the one that made up this montage?
Odell Beckham Jr.
He did.
Oh, he did. I wonder who, when he had to stop, did he stop at when he found enough of Brady's or of his, you wonder? Because if he did, you know, there's between, 3 years and 17 years difference.
Oh, you mean how many of those episodes have happened in each career?
Absolutely.
So, I got what you're saying.
Right. You understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But
no, but I see it as, now, I don't have the numbers here to tell you how many tirades Odell Beckham Jr. has had versus how many Tom Brady has had. Tom Brady consistently has tirades as often as anybody.
Also, you know, let's not get that wrong either.
What?
You know, when he when Tom Brady goes off, just like remember a couple years ago when he played when the Packers beat him in Green Bay, he came off that field for was it a pick or a loss on downs? He came off and he had to you know use the F word twice. And I said, come on, Tom, you got one more in him, and he had to let it out. So you know, it's about performance with him, not because of the antics that Odell likes to play with Norman and those guys from the other teams.
Appreciate the call. When it comes to the frequency and the number of rants and tirades that players have, I don't know that I see anybody as consistently yelling at coaches, yelling at teammates, dropping F-bombs on camera, basically just snapping in general. I don't know that I've seen anybody do it as consistently as I've seen Tom Brady.
Agreed.
GE, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I know, totally.
Do you see a difference between these two guys?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Let's just take some more phone calls.
Why don't you want to have an opinion on this?
We're done with this topic in like two or three minutes.
Yeah, why don't you want to have an opinion?
We have Rob Reichel.
Take one more. Just take one more.
Let's go to Sean on the east side. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Sean?
Hey, buddy. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy.
I just want to say I'm surprised this isn't even really up for debate. You look at Tom Brady, like everyone said. I mean, the guy has won 5 Super Bowl rings. He's a proven winner. He's bought into the system that Belichick has in place for, what, 15, 16 years now. He's changed his own game style to adjust to the team skill set. And then you look at Odell Beckham Jr. You know, that's a guy, he had, what, 4 catches in his first playoff game. He really put up a dud there. Doesn't win. Doesn't really put up that. I mean, he puts up good numbers.
Okay, we got it. So he's not a winner. Got it. Okay, boom.
I want to ask Sean a question real quick. As far as the game of football itself and being a good teammate and everything else that goes along with it, what don't you like about when Odell Beckham Jr. does it? How do you think that affects his team or hurts their chances at winning a football game?
So what I've seen, aside from the touchdown celebrations, which I just think is...
We're just talking about the rants and tirades, okay, yelling at coaches.
Yeah. So Tom Brady will blame himself from what I've noticed if he's making a bad play. You know, if he makes a mistake, you see him get down on himself.
So you think he was yelling at Josh McDaniels, damn it, I should have made a better throw? No, probably not. He was probably yelling at Josh McDaniels because Josh McDaniels, he thought, didn't call the wrong play or something along those lines. And my point is, whatever hindrance Odell Beckham Jr. is on his football team and winning football games with his attitude and his antics, I don't see how being in the league for a long time or winning Super Bowls negates that when it comes to Tom Brady. Somehow doesn't have the same impact on his team that it does when Odell Beckham Jr. does it with his team. You ready to have an opinion on this yet, GE?
Yeah. You want me for my hot take?
Please.
You know, Terrell Owens kind of had the same thing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
When he came back to the Super Bowl that year with the Eagles, I think he had a broken tibia or fibula or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people said that he was selfish and it was all about him. Now, I think he came out and made a comparison, but yeah, when Brett Favre came back early from injury. He was a team player. So I think we've kind of had this for a while in the NFL where just certain guys get that reputation where when they do stuff and the antics, it's all about them. And I don't, Rummy, know why that is. And I'm not those people. So I actually need for those people to tell me why it's different with Odell Beckham Jr. and it's different from Tom Brady. Maybe that's been that way since the beginning of time, but I can think of Terrell Owens as another guy who does not get the benefit of the doubt. And Terrell Owens is a guy that a lot of people that don't
Wait a
like.
Second. I don't think T.O. is the same. And even though I said T.O. myself when we were talking about this, T.O. divided locker rooms. I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, I don't think Odell Beckham Jr. is dividing a locker room. T.O. did divide locker rooms. Odell hasn't. So the yelling and screaming and the antics by T.O. working out in his driveway for the cameras and all that other crap.
It was all about him, right?
It was totally, for sure, all about him. And him versus Donovan McNabb. Now, again.
It was all about him,
if
right?
If we go back to that, I'm on T.O.'s side. I'm not on McNabb's side.
But Steve, all this stuff is all about them. Well, no,
to a
no
degree.
No matter how you look at it.
But some guys
some
do it differently.
Some a little bit more outward than
T.O.
others.
Was
but
definitely different.
All this stuff is all about them. I mean, the whole yelling at your coach on the sideline, what Tom Brady did, just to me, inexcusable. I mean, if I was one of those coaches, I'd have knocked his ass out then and there.
Essentially.
Both of them.
Essentially,
doing it to
essentially you and I are in agreement and disagreement all at the same time.
What's that?
Because I'm saying there is no difference. and I have no problem with it. You're saying there is no difference, and you have a problem with it in both instances.
Yeah, I have a problem with both instances.
I have no problem with it whatsoever. Yeah, now, there is a line you cross.
I thought Tom Brady crossed the line with Josh McDaniel because it looked like to me that Tom actually got in his grill and was looking down at him and, you know, shaking his head up and down. I thought that, to me, was a little bit too close. You can have arguments, and if there's space in between you and you're having an argument, I'm good with that. But don't walk up on me and try to have an argument, especially out in public like that. They don't need to see that.
We have to put this topic to bed for now. We'll bring it back for you, Steve, with Great Lakes Dragway Pick a Lane at 5.
Before you do this, I got something I want to bring up. Gary, have you ever heard of this before? The St. Norbert College women's basketball team has been suspended, the whole team.
Yeah, the whole team.
For its next 10 games.
Yeah, they're going to forfeit all their games.
For what?
And will be ineligible for postseason play after an on-campus alcohol-related incident.
Yeah.
Why?
They were drinking when they were supposed to.
That doesn't happen across the country. You suspended the whole team?
But see, St.
Norbert. Not four or five players. The whole team.
Well, see, St. Norbert is a private college.
Marquette's not suspending a whole team,
no,
man.
No, but St. Norbert is a private institution, which probably have those rules. Catholic school, they're not getting down with that.
That is insane.
And I don't know where they did it.
I don't know what they did.
And probably they may have a rule, though, about
drinking.
Press conference
is supposed to be going on right now.
They may have a rule about drinking on campus, too.
Along with on the team.
But again, the whole team was busted drinking?
Right. A lot of these D3 schools, though, Sparky, will have team decided rules from this student athlete advisory committee.
That's what this is.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
I was the president of the student athletic advisory
committee. So you would have voted? You would have suspended an entire team?
No, but each program has the option to make their own rules for alcohol abuse or any other situation.
Especially a private school.
And with a lot of it will be it's in season. So if this was a drinking violation by the team members in season, that could be banned for the team.
Right.
Doesn't mean that they know that kids aren't going to drink out of the season, but it's just a collective unit.
You got to be kidding me. So you're telling me that you were president of your deal.
That's the lead here. You guys just buried the lead.
I don't care about
that. He was the chairman of the council.
Yeah, that's good. But I don't understand this.
He's an offensive lineman. Smart guy.
Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't think Gary Ellerson is going to go out and torch another team within the program of the school that he goes to this level. I mean, you took him out altogether for the rest of the season.
No, yeah.
You ruined that program.
I don't think that committee did it.
If you try and go out and recruit now, I mean, I don't know. That is ridiculous. And I don't know what they did.
St. Norbert's give out scholarship? Was that D3? Mm-mm.
That's D3.
D3.
Yeah, so, they ain't got to worry about recruiting nobody.
For some reason, people still go there. It seems so extreme.
You already ruined my great segue, so I'm just going to say talk about Brooklyn.
Yeah, no, but I hate him.
My buddy went to St. Norbert. It's a great school. I went up there and visited him. Really, absolutely right.
I'll talk about it.
Rami, you don't need to tease me again.
Please do.
It's not all about
what are you doing with your hands over there?
What is that?
What is he doing?
Let's keep it going. Let's keep it moving. We got things to do.
We need to stay on.
And your mic is off for the third time in the show. Wow, that's a record for you, baby Tosh. You are extremely annoying today.
He's taking vacation at the end of the month, so it'll be a lot easier the last week of December. Hey, brooklinen.com. Now,
you're close to getting your mic turned off. I'll tell you that right now.
These sheets are brooklinen.com.
Yeah, you're technically my boss, but I'll turn your mic off.
And you will walk out the door with a box and your stuff in it. That's what will happen, yeah. Because the real boss ain't here, so it means I'm in charge.
That's right.
You're definitely in trouble then. Yeah, that'll be the end of that. He'll come back. What happened? I made an executive decision while you were gone. Yeah. Okay, Spark, if you say so, it's going to be me and Gary from now on going forward. We both want raises.
You fired Leroy, too?
No, Leroy can hang out with us. Brooklinen.com. These are high-quality sheets. It's luxury sheets. When you get in these sheets, again, you'd be like, wow, these are Brooklinen sheets for sure. And just in time for holiday gifting season, you can get it for your loved ones too. They deserve to have this luxury without the needless luxury retail prices. Think about this. Most high-end bedding is marked up by more than 300% by the time it reaches the store. Brooklinen makes quality luxury sheets and bedding accessible to everyone. This is luxury bedding underpriced. You have to try these sheets today. Remember, they were named the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping.
Love my Brooklinen sheets. Try these sheets, and I know you'll love them too. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer for listeners of this very show, The Big Show. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code Sparky at Brooklinen.com. In fact, Brooklinen is so confident that you'll love your new sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. No reason not to give these sheets a try for yourself or as a gift this holiday season. Give the gift of luxury sheets. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code Sparky at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code Sparky. Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever.
We'll hit a quick break on the other side. We'll talk with Rob Reichel of BobMcGinnFootball.com.
And 12 Cincinnati.
It's the Wendy's Big Show. It's a Throwback Thursday presented by Masters Ease. I'm Rami Makhlouf along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson. Let us know who you'd like to hear next week by tweeting your artist at 1057FM The Fan with the hashtag Big Throwback. You'll be entered for a chance to win a $25 gift certificate to Masters Ease. Larry Harris, the former Bucks GM, he was our guest in the 2 o'clock hour of the show. We gave him a nominee. He went with a Bing Crosby Christmas. Sparky wants 70s Christmas. Baby Touch wants a Carpenter's Christmas. I want a Jackson 5 Christmas. Gary Ellerson went with Journey. He wasn't feeling the theme. How about you? Tweet your artist at 1057FM The Fan with the hashtag Big Throwback. You'll be entered to win a $25 gift certificate to Master Z's. Joining us right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, you find his work at BobMcGinnFootball.com. We welcome him in every Thursday right around this time. It's Rob Reichel. Hello, Rob. How are you this afternoon?
I'm great. How are you, boys?
Doing well. Are you a Christmas music guy, Rob, or are you one of those people who's annoyed by Christmas music as soon as it starts playing?
You know, Rami, I can pick it up about now and go like 2-3 weeks and close strong. I can't start listening to it, you know, the first or second week in November and then try to carry that through for the better part of 2 months. That's just too much for me. But right about now is perfect, and my kids are pretty gung-ho about it, so it's kind of fun to see Christmas through the eyes of a 10, 11-year-old kid now. So
for me, if I don't want to hear it pre-Thanksgiving. That's all. Just wait till after. Let's enjoy Thanksgiving, then give me all the Christmas music you want. I'm good with that.
And I heard a few of your topics or artists for the day. Did you have John Denver in there?
No, there was no John Denver Christmas. You want to throw your hat in the ring with
Christmas, yeah.
Okay, Rob Reichel wants a John Denver Christmas. Okay, thank you, Rob. What's
pretty,
going on?
I'm pretty old, Rami.
What's going on with the Packers secondary? Are they going to have enough cornerbacks to field the team this Sunday?
Well, is there any way you guys can get Leroy out to Cleveland and throw a 36 back on him and maybe move one of the safeties to corner? Yeah, no, it's messy, Rami, to say the least. I was a little bit surprised today when Mike McCarthy said that Dimitri Goodson was a long shot. Because I really thought they were going to have to play him 15, 20, 25 snaps from scrimmage in addition to the work he's going to get on special teams. Obviously, they put King on IR yesterday. House is in the early stages in the rehab group. You know, that's kind of a 2-3-step process through the course of the week. For these guys that sit out early practices in the week to make it to the field for Sunday. I guess I'd be stunned, guys, if House doesn't give it a go and play, but he's beat up as well with that shoulder. So now you're looking at House and Randall and Hawkins, and if Goodson can't go, guys, they're going to have to go a little bit deeper, you know, maybe with a guy like Donatello Brown or somebody like that. But it's a little bit dangerous, guys. I mean, because I don't know if everybody realizes just how good Josh Gordon was before he went away for a few years with his off the field troubles. We're talking about a guy. I don't think he's in the discussion of a Julio Jones, maybe, or an AJ Green kind of a player, guys. But he's just a notch below that. I'm telling you, if he would have stayed clean and stayed on the field, he was going to play in multiple Pro Bowls. And they certainly featured him last week. He's going to see 10, 12, 14 targets come Sunday. They've got the rookie tight end who's coming on, who's a pretty good player. They've got another guy opposite of Gordon named Corey Coleman, who's a good player. The problem is, obviously, they've got an absolutely awful quarterback who can't get these guys to football consistently. But if he somehow finds a way to do it on Sunday, guys, it's going to be an incredible challenge for Green Bay secondary.
No, it really will be. Moving over to the Packers real quick, and really about Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams now seems to rounding into what at least I saw him doing training camp or what he could be. Is this something that the Green Bay Packers can lean on Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones when other teams know that they're going to be running the football?
Yeah, and I think they have to take that approach, Gary. And you saw a few weeks ago in that Baltimore game when Mike McCarthy tried to take the training wheels completely off of Brett Hundley. What a disaster that was. The three interceptions early, losing that game 23-0, getting absolutely nothing generated on offense. He throws for about 80 yards again last week. I mean, guys, we're going to see on Sunday the number 34 and number 35 quarterback in the National Football League when it comes to rating of guys with a certain amount of passes. They only go 35 deep. But this is 34 and 35. I mean, this is in essence the two absolute dregs of society that are going to lead their football teams come Sunday. So, no, you're dead on, Gary. I think even though Cleveland's really good against the run, they're a top 10 run defense. They're allowing 3.3 yards per carry, which is incredibly low. I think Green Bay's got to hammer away with Williams, and I think they've got to run Jones 10, 12 times as a nice complement there. Maybe go 20 with Williams and 10 or 12 with Jones. And even if Cleveland knows that's what's coming, guys, you cannot let Brett Hundley potentially lose this game like he lost the Baltimore game. That's a bad plan of attack and a bad approach. And I think McCarthy learned his lesson, guys, a few weeks ago. I don't think he's going to go back to that again. Even though it's strength on strength, because Cleveland's pretty bad on the back end of their defense, guys, that there would be some opportunities, I think, for Hundley to go downfield and feature Adams a little bit in the passing game. But that might just be too risky for McCarthy, and he might just hammer away and try to win it with the run game and defense, kind of like he did in the Tampa Bay game.
It's on Rob Reichel of BobMcGinnFootball.com here on the Wendy's. Big shows we do each and every week at this time. Rob, do you think there's anything to extra motivation, a little bit more fired up for the Cleveland Browns for two different reasons? Number one, the general manager's got fired today, not their coach. He gets extended Hugh Jackson through 2018, but there's that. And then there's the other thing of you don't want to be a winless team all year. So each game is even bigger for you and kind of like your little Super Bowl every time you think you have a chance to win a football game.
Yep, and if you look at it, Sparky, you know, they've got extremely hard games yet with Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and then they're at Chicago where, they'll be a 3-4, 5-point underdog in that game. You could certainly make the case, Spark, that this is the most winnable game left on Cleveland's schedule. There's only been one 0-16 team since the NFL went to 16 games, guys, in 78, and that was Detroit in, what was that, 08. When Detroit had a final chance to win a game at Lambeau Field that year, they came 0-15. Green Bay was on a five-game losing streak at that point in time, and Rodgers and the Packers beat them that year. But Cleveland would be the second one, guys. And actually, I mean, it's pretty remarkable. Cleveland's just the second team in the last 40-plus years to start a season 0-12. Tampa Bay did it back-to-back years in their expansion years. I mean, it's hard to lose 12 straight football games to start a year. I mean, they're what, 1-27 under Hugh Jackson? So, no, Sparky, I completely think this is their Super Bowl on many levels. I think it's Christmas Eve. They might have the Bears. That could be the other one. But, I mean, Gary knows this as well as anybody. It's still a sport where these guys are remarkably prideful. They don't want to be talked about 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the road and be a laughing stock when people talk about groups that went 0-16. And, you know, they're on the brink of doing that right now, guys. You're going to see Cleveland as fired up as I think an 0-12 team could possibly be, because I'm sure they look at this right now and they look at how Huntley has struggled with the Packer offense, hasn't been the same minus Rodgers, and I'm sure they see this as a very winnable game.
Find his work at BobMcGinnFootball.com and on Twitter at Rob Reichel, and every Thursday right here on the Wendy's Big Show, and we always appreciate it, Rob. Thank you very much. That's Rob Reichel joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
And Great Midwest Bank has been committed to personalized common-sense lending since 1935. When you're in the market to buy, build, renovate, or refinance, visit GreatMidwestBank.com to discover the benefits of simply local Banking.
Q Club of Wisconsin, a great place to catch all your favorite sports action with pool tables, shuffleboard, tornado foosball, electric darts, ping pong, and more. Enjoy their award-winning fish fry on Wednesdays and Fridays with four different styles of fish piled up high with all the extras. Live music every Saturday night plus late-night Friday happy hour daily from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Make the Q Club your new place for Sunday breakfast starting at 9 a.m. Also a fun place to host private parties, including your own personal VIP suite, luxury pool table, personal TV, access to foosball and darts, too. Make sure to check out QClubofWI.com to find out what band is playing there this Saturday night. Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha, just a half mile south of I-94. Check them out at QClubofWI.com, QClubofWI.com, or on Facebook.
Talk some Wisconsin hoops and football with our Wisconsin insider, John McNamara, next. I wish I could let this go on longer, but we really got to keep it moving. It's a Throwback Thursday presented by Masters Ease here on the Wendy's Big Show with Fleetwood's Max bringing us out of the break. Nominees for next week. Our two guests today so far, Larry Harris, he went with Bing Crosby Christmas. Rob Reichel, he went with John Denver Christmas. Sparky wants 70s Christmas. Baby Tosh wants Carpenter's Christmas. I want Jackson 5 Christmas. Gary just wants a journey. Go with one of those or your own. Tweet your artist at 105.7FM, the fan, with the hashtag Big Throwback. And you'll be entered for your chance to win a $25 gift certificate to Masters Ease. That's at 105.7FM, the fan, with the hashtag Big Throwback.
Time for the big show to check in with Wisconsin insider John McNamara. Brought to you by Creative Construction, providing quality plaster and stucco services with unsurpassed workmanship.
That's right. It's time to check in with that guy that covers the Badgers for BadgerBlitz.com.
Who's that guy?
And us right here on the Wendy's Big
Show. J-Mac!
He's our Wisconsin insider, John McNamara.
Is that J-Mac?
J-Mac, how you doing this afternoon, dude?
I'm doing great, guys.
I'm sorry to make you listen to Gary singing while you were on hold.
Hey, you like a little Fleetwood Max?
Yeah, yeah, I like that song too, and I like I like the remix that you offered up.
Yeah, that was the remix, dog.
John, Sparky was very.
So I don't want Sparky yelling at me and being all angry.
So Sparky, remember, he doesn't play for the Badgers.
I yell at everybody. It's not just
okay.
You. Hey, man, I told Gary this the first time we saw them on TV this year. I told Gary, I said, this is not a good look. I don't like what I'm seeing so far, but. Now that we've played a few games and we've seen more Badger basketball game and see them lose now last night to a team that may be okay by the end of the year, but I mean it's not going to be some team that's going to challenge for anything. I don't see it. And I texted you last night. I'm like, am I overreacting? Because I really don't see this being a very good basketball team. And specifically one player, man, all the hype I heard around this Kobe King kid was all that on bag of chips. Oh, this kid's going to be so good. Oh, he's going to average so many points per game, and he's going to be unstoppable. And Kobe King this, Kobe King that. And I was like, all right, well, let's see what he looks like when he gets to college. And so far, not much has come off Kobe King.
I think the biggest thing you're looking at this team, at least in my opinion, is this 2015 recruiting class. This is a five-man class that you thought would be able to, you know, handle that next transition in Wisconsin's program. And, if, you know, you don't go to the NCAA tournament 19 times in a row without being able to be consistent and having these guys develop in your program to take that step. So, you know, you saw four starters graduate from last year's team, and you knew you're going to have, you know, a lot of holes to replace. But, you know, this 2015 class wasn't able to do it. You know, you look at Andy Van Vliet, Khalil Iverson, Charlie Thomas, Alex Lilliakainen and Brevin Pritzel, and
nope.
Only two guys from that class are even contributing right now in Iverson and Pritzel, and only one guy starting in Khalil Iverson. You know, you had Andy Van Vliet who started this year. He was a starter for them. Now he's on the bench. You know, Charlie Thomas doesn't play at all.
And even Iverson hasn't been all that good this year. He's had, what, like one or two good games total?
Yeah, he's kind of been up and down. He led them in scoring once at the start of the season in one of the games. But, yeah, he's kind of been really inconsistent for them, too. So, you know, when that happens, you have a season like this where they're just not a good team right now. And what Greg Gard has done, he's went all in on his young guys. So you mentioned, Kobe King. They're playing Brad Davis in the starting lineup, another two freshmen. They took the red shirt off of Nathan Reavers, a guy who's, you know, not ready to play right now in the Big Ten, just physically. He's just not there. But they've been forced to play him because they've got nothing from that power forward position. And, you know, he's kind of shown glimpses of some good stuff on the both offensive, defensive end. But Greg Gard has said, look, if we're going to lose with my young guys right now, because those older guys in that 2015 class, they're buried on the bench. And because of that, you're seeing a team that's not very good right now.
Oh, and the other thing is, your best scorer on this team is Ethan Happ, and he can't seem to get a basket. Last night, the last 3.5 minutes or so of the game? That can't happen. If he's your best basketball player, he's got to figure out how to score late.
Right. Yeah, they went scoreless in their last 3 minutes or 3.5 minutes, the last night's game against Temple, and they ended up losing that game. A game they probably should have won. That's
yes.
Not a great Temple team. It's pretty simple for teams that Wisconsin's playing right now. Every time Happ touches the ball, he gets double-teamed. What they've tried to do is they've tried to, enter with him or get that entry pass at the top of the key so another double can't come as easily. But, Ethan Happ struggles right now, passing out of that double team. He's a proven guy. He's the only proven guy in this team right now. But he's struggled with the double team, and he struggled last year too. So they got a lot of stuff to try to figure out. But, there has been some bright spots, Brad Davison in that starting lineup. But, there's a lot more – things that they need to work on in comparison to things that they're doing well right now.
Badger football recruiting news, lots of that coming out. What's the deal with Bryson Williams, the defensive tackle?
Yeah, so he's the kid from Nebraska. Wisconsin secured him in the summer with a commitment. He's a huge part of this class because he plays that all-important defensive tackle position. But in Nebraska, when they made that coaching change when Scott Frost came in, one of the first things they did was they came in and they extended an offer to Bryson Williams. So he says he's committed to Wisconsin. When I talked to him, he said he's committed. He's going to be in Madison this weekend for his official visit, which is a good thing. And then once they get done with that, Paul Chris is going to see him again for an in-home visit. So that would be sometime next week. I really think it's going to be 50-50 right now. It's always tough for a kid from inside whatever state he is to turn down that home state school. Scott Frost is putting that big time pressure on him to stay close to home. At Central Florida, they were a big player in his recruitment there. So that whole staff is there at Nebraska now. If I had to guess, I'd say they lose him. But I think he's really got a big decision on his mind. I don't think he's made up his mind yet.
Oh yeah, yeah. What about Jonathan Allen? Badgers offer him. And I got to tell you something. This is a huge offensive lineman, but I love the tweet. Truly blessed to get an offer from Wisconsin. This was the first school I wanted. Now, he put got, but I think he meant go. To go to hashtag Wisconsin, and he is not a Wisconsin kid.
Yeah, he's another kid from Michigan where they've done fairly well in these last couple of classes. If you look at this 2018 class, they're expected to sign 5 kids from Michigan. I expect that to happen. And in this 2019 class, we've talked a lot about Logan Brown on here, their 4-star tackle. And, they're really hitting that state hard. And there's a lot of prospects there. And it's a place that not a ton of other schools go. So Wisconsin kind of recognized that. Michigan's always going to get the top kids from that state that they want. Michigan State's obviously a big player there as well. But, they've found a niche where, the kids that don't pick up those offers from those two schools right away, Wisconsin tries to identify them early and offer them. They've had a lot of success there. Even when, those two schools that I mentioned come in with late offers, Wisconsin will be able to hang on to them.
That's awesome. John McNamara. Find his work at BadgerBlitz.com on
nice
Twitter
day,
at McNamara Rivals, and every Thursday right here on the Wendy's Big
Hey,
Show.
Is he going to Miami?
You going to Miami, J-Mac?
It's still up in the air right now. We'll see if things get a little bit cheaper.
Everything's on Gary if you do go, just so you know, all right?
Yeah.
Everything's on Gary.
That'd be a huge help.
Yeah, Gary's going already, so yeah, you can just go with Gary.
Yeah, you can sleep on the floor.
Yeah, he texted me that morning. He was booking flights at 6 a.m. the next day after the Big Ten Championship.
Yes, sir.
You and Gary can sleep head to toe in the same bed.
Yes, sir.
It'll be cute.
Perfect.
Thanks, J-Mac. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, buddy.
John McNamara joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Great Midwest Bank has been committed to personalized common sense lending since 1935. When you're in the market to buy, build, renovate, or refinance, visit greatmidwestbank.com to discover the benefits of simply local banking.
Good Lord. Michael Cohen says, Demaryius Randle and Josh Hawkins have taken the majority of reps at cornerback this week, mm-hmm. which means it's very possible House isn't going
to You see Ryan Woods' response to that?
No.
Good week to be playing the Browns.
Well, yeah, unless it's Josh Gordon.
That's
I want to see who's going to cover that dude.
Kizer still has to throw the ball.
It does not matter. He may be wide enough open, even DeShone Kizer can throw that ball in there. Get football the way you want it with the NFL Sunday Ticket only on DirecTV. You can get the rest of this year and all of next year.
All of next year?
For nada.
through Sight and Sound Solutions. Now, this is how it works.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.